Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right.
We are back. Another episode of The Street Noise. And where to start this week? It's been a very dramatic, both on and off the field.
Yeah, definitely.
More off the field than on, which is mad considering we've had two games in a space of 4 days, whatever it was. It's probably best to start chronological order.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the Saturday Birmingham game at home in the FA Cup. We both went. What did you think?
I thought we were all right. First half was pretty poor. Obviously the mistake from Morton giving the ball away, they go 1-0 up, and but the remainder of that we were alright. We kind of huffed and puffed a bit, didn't we? And then actually missed the goal. I went upstairs to the toilet and bloody
stood up more.
Missed the equaliser. But the second half, I mean, with the chances we had before they ended up scoring their equaliser, I know, can't get words out. the game should have been put to bed.
Should have been Darren Berry, yeah, shouldn't it?
Long before that, so frustrating in that sense, but it weren't the worst performance in the world, but
no. Just I think not how bad Birmingham were, but how little they created and how little like problems they give us to concede two goals like in the first minute and the last minute is just. Yeah. Like we played worse than that and not conceded or only conceded once. It's conceded two, and it's like I don't want to blame Kaminski because he's been class this season. But like both goals he should be saving. I think it's more frustrating that in the FA Cup, Pers and the League Cup, he's been playing every game, played well in most cup games, and then you're putting your number one choice keeper in, and he's letting you down really. Yeah, you mentioned the mistake that Tyler Morton made as well for the first goal, giving the ball away. And I don't want to get on the young lad's back because, but
you don't want anybody else. That's all we've been doing since he made that mistake.
But it's just if there is something in the contract to the loan agreement with Liverpool where he has to play so many minutes, I'd rather know, because if it's Thomason picking him on performances, then that's worrying for me.
Yeah.
I'd rather him come out and say, listen, he has to play 18 minutes, otherwise he'll get fined by Liverpool, or we don't get as much money from Liverpool. Right, that's fine. At least we know the reason why. But if you're picking him based on performances, that's when I'm going to start getting worried, because he doesn't deserve to be in the team. So what are you seeing?
To me, it's crying out that is the case. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Especially
that first game, because he was on a yellow. He was looking the most tired. He obviously gave the ball away for the first goal. I know that was in the first minute, but him and Buckley, if you were thinking about making a sub, surely he was the obvious one to come off. Buckley would have stayed, not on a yellow card. It's tidy on ball. You're going to bring a runner on in Travis or Garrett. So surely, like, Morton was the obvious one to come off.
Yeah.
I think everyone in the ground thought he needs to come off. He's on a yellow. He can't commit any tackles on break. So, like, what? When the board came up for 21, I was absolutely fuming.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few people, you know, talking about it on Twitter after the game, and well, for the last few weeks, really. You know, people are surprised, and ourselves included, that neither of the main Rovers journalists, Rich Sharp and Elliot Jackson, have brought it up to Thomason.
Yeah,
you know, about the Morton deal, because, you know, like we just said, like, there has to be some kind of condition.
Well, the fans want to know, don't they? That's one of the things that we want to know. So why aren't they asking them questions? Sure, that's their job as the reporter for Blackburn Rovers, is it? To get across the questions that the fans want answers to. It's good to see Bradley Dack back to his best. So
definitely, yeah.
It's like a new signing.
We love a cliche. The feeling is that he's like the only hope in here, really.
Yeah, he is.
With the way this season is going,
he's trying to keep the season going.
Yeah, but that's how it feels.
One man mission.
I was going to mention about Saturday's game. It feels like every week we're kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, at some point we're going to have to improve and performances are going to have to pick up, and it's just not really happening. And he's like the only kind of exception,
shining light,
and the only chance we've got, it feels like, at the minute, is if he carries on this form that he's been. Is it what, three goals and an assist in his last so many games? So
since the Preston game, he's had a scored or assist in every game, hasn't he?
Yeah. So apart from the League Cup game against Forest, is that right? Well, Sunderland as well. I think apart from those
two, scored against Sunderland,
non goal, weren't it?
Oh yeah, it was. So it was, yeah.
Free kick. He's been brilliant since the restart, hasn't he? So,
yeah. But yeah, coming off the pitch, coming out the ground, shall I say, on Saturday, all eyes turned to what the club would do. There was mention. Well, some of the fans were asking for free travel. Obviously, Birmingham put it on for 10 coaches for their. Yeah, it was a quick turnaround. We were playing Saturday, Tuesday. I mean, I think 500 fans went, which is about 10 coaches on Tuesday. So, and the coach travel for adults were £20 a go. So, for 500 adults, you're talking £10,000, if my maths is correct.
Yes.
Is that
about that?
Is that a massive cost for Blackburn Rovers?
It's
£1,000 for every player that's involved in the squad.
It's going to bring up questions when Birmingham have done it, and then, yeah, I think
for such a short turnaround as well. I think
Rovers really kind of wanted to avoid, well, they wanted to avoid a replay, to avoid fixture congestion as well, and the clash with deadline day and stuff like that. But that's one of the reasons why they wanted to avoid a replay, because they kind of get put in that situation after Birmingham did it. And, you know, it's one of them things you would have liked to have seen, without a doubt. But I don't know. But who's making that decision?
I don't know.
You know, it's.
But surely, like, there has to be a point where, like, at the start of the season, they set aside some money for free travel to one away game or one. Like, it's going to have to become where. I mean, I feel like we're asking for stuff for free all the time. We're asking for reduced prices or something. But, like, just do something. Offer anything you can do. I remember, like, back years ago, I remember we played Charlton, we got the Ali Ali O scarves on the seats away from home, and it, like, no one expected it, but it felt like Christmas Day as a Rovers fan to get a free scarf, like, on your, like, to show, like, all the appreciation for the away support. And then now it's just like you're getting V's. that's just what it is. I don't know what the answer is. So we went to the replay on Tuesday, and I didn't watch it. I just listened to it on the radio. Radio made it sound a lot more exciting than I think it actually was.
It didn't sound like the greatest game in the world, did it?
No.
I think when you kind of look at the stats, obviously we didn't watch the game, but when you look at the stats, the radio made it sound a lot more like Rovers were the better team when Birmingham actually...
Had quite a few chances. Pers made some good saves as well, looking at the highlights.
And yeah, like you said, Birmingham had more chances, so...
Yeah. But it's good to go through. Smodic, obviously, crosses it in, the own goal, which is unfortunate for the young lad. But fortunate for us. It's just a shame that it took 120 minutes of legs off people.
Yeah.
Especially going into some like crucial games in the league. We need to win on Monday. So as we get through, the draw had already been done on the night before on the one show. So the draw in full is Southampton will play Luton Town or Grimsby, which will be Tuesday night.
That's been selected for TV, hasn't it?
Was it?
Mm.
Oh, it's Nathan Jones derby, isn't it? Yeah. Leicester City versus Blackburn Rovers. Stoke City versus Brighton and Hove Albion. Wrexham or Sheffield United versus Spurs. That's going to be on telly, surely.
Yeah.
So whoever gets through.
Them two, Stoke, Brighton and...
And
Wrexham, Spurs.
Fulham or Sunderland versus Leeds United. Bristol City versus Manchester City. Man United versus West Ham. I feel like that's been an FA Cup fifth round game for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
That has always... Yeah. I remember the Di Canio one, where Barter's got his hand up. I remember the Payet free kick one.
Yeah, I was just about to say the Payet free kick. Was that not the same year that West Ham knocked us out?
I think so, yeah. I'm sure that was a quarter final. No, it might have been to get to the quarter final. I think it might have been the fifth round.
No, they beat us in fifth round, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, so they did.
So it must have been the quarter final.
Did they not beat us in third round?
No, fifth.
Ipswich Town or Burnley versus Sheffield Wednesday or Fleetwood. So three League One teams in that draw, and obviously Burnley. Which does affect us, because if Burnley beat Ipswich Town in the replay, or then beat one of the League One two teams in the next round, then the Burnley game will be moved. Because that's the same weekend as the FA Cup quarterfinals, isn't it? Which means we'll play them middle April, end of April.
Yeah, it's looking that way.
We were worried that they could be promoted by the time they play us in March, so they're very likely going to be promoted by the time they play us in April if it gets moved.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation, that one. I think with how congested the fixtures are between now and the end of the season, I think the most likely date, if it does have to be rearranged, is either Tuesday the 24th or Wednesday the 25th of April, which is like, I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, that's too close to end of season.
That's like four games left that stage of season, isn't it?
Even if they are up, you know, if we're still where we are now, they're going to be out to stop us getting playoffs, aren't they? So,
yeah. It's
not looking good, bro.
But yeah, are you happy with the draw, Leicester away?
It's a new ground. I've not been there before, so.
Do you think it's winnable?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Leicester is fighting out down there, aren't they? So.
Yeah, they're struggling in the league. They're going to want to rest players, probably. Won't be prioritising the cup. I think if we go there and. I feel like we say it every game in the season, it depends what kind of Rovers turns up, but if you go there and put in a strong performance, I think we've got a really good chance. When the draw came out, I were a bit kind of
deflated,
a bit flat, because it's like, it's a Premier League side away, but it's Leicester.
To be fair, they're probably one of the biggest Premier League sides left apart from United, West Ham and City.
Yeah.
So, and Spurs obviously. So you've got them four, but the any other team would have been a deflation, really, wouldn't it? Out of 16.
Yeah.
There's not many teams that you think, oh my God, that's a massive tie, which is good this year for the FA Cup, because.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a bit dodgy how United, City, Spurs and... That's it, have all managed to stay away from each other. I think they're praying that all them three make it to the semi-final to make it somewhat interesting for the TV.
Yeah. So when it first came out, I were a bit like... disappointed, but I'm actually quite like, looking forward to it now. So.
Yeah, it's just annoying that it's in midweek, isn't it?
Yeah,
be good to be on a Saturday. So, the same night as the Birmingham game was transfer deadline day.
It was. Here we go.
Now, where do you want to start with transfer deadline day? So I'll start with the club's statement, I think.
Yeah.
So Blatt and Rose released a statement. Is this today's or yesterday's?
Came out yesterday, didn't it? And then Broughton has
had his meetings, yeah, had his interview.
He's come out and done the interview today. So
the statement is: the club would like to update our supporters on the situation concerning trying to bring in two players prior to the 11 PM transfer deadline on Tuesday, January 31st. One of the deals was a very ambitious target, and it was only confirmed he was able to join us late Tuesday afternoon. Due to the complex nature of the agreements to be included within the overall registration, legal advisors brought in to assist. Despite the club's best endeavours to complete all the required elements of this loan transfer, due to events we believe to be outside of our control, the deadline for submission was late, and despite the club stating the mitigating reasons for the delayed submission, our application has today been rejected by the EFL. Our application for the second deal, for a permanent transfer of a promising young player, was also delayed due to unsigned paperwork and technical issues encountered by the club at the point of submission. Once again, the EFL has not accepted these issues, were an impediment to the paperwork being lodged on time, and has also rejected this application. The club will now appeal the EFL decision to reject both applications and will submit documents ahead of Tuesday, February 7th deadline. What do you make of that?
Bloody hell. There's a lot to unpack. Like today in his interview, Broughton was talking about internal and external factors. Now, there's no getting away from the fact that someone at the club has made a mistake, and
we need to pay.
It could prove to be a very costly mistake, and you know that because the stakes are high. We're always are in the league, and how much of a difference, you know, O'Brien could have made. Well, I mean, he still could, you know, still could come here, but can't see it personally because Broughton also said that none of these appeals have ever been
overturned. Yeah.
So it's looking unlikely. So it was a very high stakes situation, and someone at the club has made a mistake, and you know, if you're gonna like learn from it and improve in the future, and he's talked about the process, you know, the process of signing players,
trust the process,
and he's talked about how that needs to be improved to avoid something like this happening again. Well, surely to do that, then there's got to be consequences for a mistake like this. To me, the thing that stood out most in that interview today was, I think he mentioned about how, so they were in Manchester for the two medicals,
yeah,
and they left Manchester to go to Brockhall and sign the paperwork at 9:30 PM,
yeah,
an hour and a half before the deadline. Yeah, it's at least an hour to get to Brockhall from Manchester.
Not that time of night, probably like half an hour, 45 minutes.
The old speeds are going.
Daniel Ayala's pick.
But to me that's just pure organisation, really. When they knew that.
Well, why couldn't, whilst they were doing the medical, someone drive over to Manchester for the papers? Why couldn't the papers been delivered to? Or like, surely they can fax the papers over to the wherever the medical's being held.
Yeah.
People still have fax machines. You can print them out somewhere, I'm sure. Why do we have to drive back to Brockhall to sign some papers? And like, if the mitigating factors was a 3-car pile up on the M65 and like they couldn't get back in time, then that's a shoddy excuse, to be honest. And I mean, the interview today, it looks well on Greg. He's took responsibility, and I think he's not quashed the supporters' concerns, but like he's talked about things that we're more concerned about. We're like, Yondar Thomason's pissed off. Like he's trying his best with the tools he's got, and he's asked for these players. That one's a loan, one's a young player, so he's going to be cheap. Like, he's not asking you to go and sign someone for $5 million right here, right now. He's reasonable.
Yeah.
And for him to, and like, he said himself that like he wanted O'Brien in the squad for Monday, so he's made plans now for them players to be in the squad for the next game. And to have, like, to be let down by a bit of paperwork, like, I'd be fuming. And then people have talked about him walking away, and it wouldn't surprise me. Because he's doing a great, like, where we stand at the minute in the league and how he's done in the Cups this year. I mean, the Cups is enough. Like, all the money that he's brought in through the Cup run, and, like, West Ham away, and, like, the FA Cup getting to Leicester away now, that's massive money for us.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, why can't we just repay him by getting the small things right?
Yeah.
It's going to sound stupid, this. It's going to sound all, like, conspiracy theory and stuff, but I honestly think it was a pre-planned mess-up. Why is Waggett in Birmingham for an FA Cup replay?
I don't know. I've asked the same question myself. Like, did it come out last night? I think that.
Yeah. There's no need for him to be
there.
No,
there's not.
JDT didn't have to be there. Could have sent his assistant to FA Cup replay.
I don't agree with that.
But for your CEO on transfer deadline day to be at St Andrews where he can affect absolutely nothing, and I think it's all like, I'll go here, you go there, and then we'll just blame someone else when it goes wrong. And then it's like the same old. Like, oh, we tried, we did try to get these players in, but we just haven't managed to get over the line.
I don't think that's. I think there was a genuine attempt to sign both those players. But to leave the, if it's true, it's difficult for us sat here because we don't know
what's actually happened.
No one knows what's actually happened apart from those
that were there
involved within the club, and we, you know, unless they come out with another statement or another interview after the appeal deadline, we probably never will know what truly happened. So it's difficult for us sat here. But if it's true that the secretary is Sylvester, was left at Brockhall to sort all the paperwork, then that just doesn't seem right to me.
No. And it's just another thing that he addressed was that the Brierley transfer will go through and he will join in the summer, regardless of the appeal, which is good.
Yeah.
Obviously a promising young player. But saying, like, O'Brien still wants to come, there's absolutely no, if this appeal goes through, there's absolutely no chance we get him in the summer. Or I just think, like, to mess around someone like that, I know people say, oh, the EFL have left him in, like, because he's not been registered for Forest or whatever, but no, I just don't. I think it leaves, like, a sour taste in the player's mouth. Like, he could have gone back to Forest and...
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, because, I mean, you know, it's a respect thing in a way, isn't it? You know, he'd have been, you know, embarrassed by what's happened.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now he's been, well, I mean, he won't be able to play football, well, proper football, he'll be able to play with the
21s.
Under 21s and that, but, you know, he'd have been embarrassed because to me, it's a lack of respect to both those players that Rovers have failed to meet the deadline just for them to be signed.
Yeah, so frustrating. And the fans have obviously got a right to be fuming about it. The Rovers Trust actually released a statement, and just before we go into that statement, like it's good that Greg's come out today with the interview and whatever, and the statement was released, but it's too late. We've had 48 hours of people, like, what's going on, that statement needs to be quicker. And I know they have to, like, get the wording right and stuff like that, but at least have someone come out and say, listen, there's a problem on the EFL side, or, like, we've made the application late and it's going through appeal. But to have radio silence for 48 hours, and even, like, on Twitter, people put notifications on, it's transfer deadline day, it should be an exciting time, and they're tweeting, like, ticket prices for under 21. Like, no. Unless it's a transfer, don't tweet.
I think that would have made it look worse, though.
Worse than radio sat after the complaints we've had
if they weren't to tweet anything at all, I think that might have made it look worse.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't actually know that the transfer was going to be blocked until yesterday afternoon, or so we're told. What do you expect them to put up until that point? it's a difficult situation for everyone involved, and it's a unique situation, really, because whilst it might have happened at other clubs, you know, the staff at Rovers, whether it's in the media team, the recruitment team, have never had to deal with something like this before. So it's just been an absolute nightmare, really, hasn't it, from start to finish?
It has. So the Rovers Trust Supporters Trust Board put out a statement saying, for over a decade, the Blackburn Rovers Supporters Trust has been imploring the owners and those they have charged with running the club to engage with the wider supporter base and listen to our concerns over the way the club operates. The last 48 hours have once again demonstrated a distinct lack of care and attention from those entrusted with the running of the club and, by extension, the owners. The debacle surrounding the failed deadline day signings is another example of incompetence and an inability to perform the basic duties necessary to provide a functioning football club. The fans, without whom the club would serve no purpose, have been left in limbo, let down and treated as an irrelevance. We deserve better than farcical situations like this. Having witnessed a poor second half to last season, there was something of a renewed sense of optimism surrounding summer appointments at the club. Now the remainder of our season appears to have been sabotaged by carelessness. Again, we implore the club to engage with us. Swathes of empty seats, closed stands, record low gates since the Ewood redevelopment should all be an indicator of current supporter feeling. We have attempted to convey the mood of the fans and offered ideas, initiatives and assistance to help address this. However, embarrassing situations like this will only serve to turn apathy into anger. The fans are the beating heart of any club. We are the Rovers. But after over a decade of neglect and disappointment, many of us have never felt so detached from the club. Change is long overdue. We expect the individual or individuals responsible for this latest fiasco to be held accountable. On the back of the excellent fan-led review of football governance and the imminent government white paper, the Rovers Supporters Trust calls on the club to form a strategic alliance with a wide range of elected supporters in the form of a shadow board, with the Blackburn Rovers Supporters Trust at the heart of it to ensure the long-term future of the club. Catch my breath now.
Brilliant.
So what do you think of that?
I resonate with it in, you know, the kind of the frustration, because it does feel like every time we kind of
get somewhere,
we wipe the slate clean and we bring new individuals in, like we did in the summer with Broughton, JDT. It feels like we just come up with this, you know, huge mistake, or and then it just reminds everyone of the
that we're still in
that we're kind of still in a bit of a mess.
I mean, it's, I think it's a lack of communication. It's the fans being treated as irrelevant, and we've spoke about it millions of times on the podcast already about I genuinely believe that the fans are treated as irrelevant, and the less fans on a match day the better because of cost, and we're basically being forced away from the club. I mean, you text me today, Bolton's early bird season ticket deals, was it 219 for an adult?
Yes. So the price of frozen early bird deals from 219 for adults and 35 for juniors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, they could be playing Championship football next season if they go through the playoffs.
In the playoffs, aren't they? So they're in the same position as us, really, now.
Yeah, and you work that out over 23 games, it's £9.50 a game.
And, what, two adults and two kids is probably cheaper than an adult and a child at Rovers. So, like, if you're from, like, Chorley way, or you're from Edgerton, like, far side of Darwin way, Edgeworth, and you've got a choice between going to Rovers on a Saturday or getting a season ticket, say you're off every weekend, your kid's getting into football, you can go watch Bolton for half the price you can at Blackburn. You're straight on the motorway, straight to the Middlebrook on a massive car park, straight off afterwards. I'm probably guessing the replica kits are even cheaper than ours. No,
well, that's another point we can make. I mean, we spoke the last few weeks about the engagement and offers and stuff like this. Well, I saw on Twitter last night that someone went into the Rovers store, and this has been the case for a while, actually, that this person went into Rover store and there was no replicates at all.
So I've actually got notes about this. So I don't know when this question was asked, but it must have been like a fans forum. But in response to a question from JW, I don't know who JW is, but thank you for asking it. Steve Waggett stated that supplies of Rovers kit was almost sold out with a little of the away strip and some small children's packs still available. The stock order from Macron was for 12,000 shirts, the same as for the previous season, which had not sold out. This season's kit sold very quickly. Overall, the club had sold over 1 million worth of retail stock for the second year running. The club had obtained a small extra stock from Macron's warehouse in Bologna. They had investigated making an extra order from the main suppliers in China. There were challenging issues with the supply chain, and Macron could only estimate a delivery date in late April or May, even with air freighting, which was obviously not practical for the club. At the moment, the club were planning a similar order for 23-24 stock. Forum members encouraged the club to increase that order if at all possible. Whilst it was very encouraging to see higher sales at full prices, there really needs to be stock available for Christmas purchases. Right, so he's ordered 12,000 kits, and we've made £1 million in revenue. We didn't sell that last year, but I thought last year's kit were very basic. I know it's what people have asked for, the red and black halves and the blue and white halves. I thought they were basic kits. They looked a bit cheap. The collars made it look cheaper than they were. Yeah. And the obviously surrounding the sponsorship halfway through the season didn't help.
No.
It was a late July release, which obviously affects it because people buy the shirts to go on holiday. When was the last time we had a shirt out before the end of the season? We used to play the last home game in next season's shirt.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that now? So, we didn't sell 12,000 last year. The kits this year are a lot nicer. There's been thought put into it, like the Lancashire Rose and the red one, the Blackman badge and the blue one. It's that retro thing of like going back to an old kit, and they're obviously going to be more popular. But you could buy 20,000, and if you only sell 15,000, you sell them next year at a reduced price. Mm. I think he's so bothered about waste and like spending money on stock and then not making that money back. And it's same like on a match day, like why can't we pour 1,000 beers, and if you only sell 900, then sell the 100 left for £1 a pint outside or something like that.
Yeah.
Like he's so bothered about like not having any waste. It's like, so if you bought 15,000 shirts and there were 3,000 left and we got to the playoff finals, them shirts would be gone straight away. You could get the embroidery on the chest and say like 17th of May, Blackburn Rovers versus West Bromwich Albion playoff final Wembley.
Yeah.
You could sell them for £100 a piece and people would buy them.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's so frustrating. Like it's so obvious like what you could do and like what the potential is, but to like, again, it comes back to that. I don't want to spend money on stock and then not get the money to return. But I think surely the 12,000 you're near about sell every year. I think he's just been given a £1 million target, and as soon as he's passed that, he's not really asked about the rest of it. And it goes back to the season ticket. He'd rather sell 8,000 at £400 than sell 16,000 at £200.
Yeah.
Because I think if we did go to that route of £200 season ticket, we would sell 16,000. We saw it against Birmingham. There were 10,000 home fans on at £10 a ticket. And then people say, yeah, but that's like a normal league. Well, yeah, because there's 8,000 season ticket holders, so you only get 2,000 walk-ons. But I don't think all the 10,000 were season ticket holders. You're probably getting new people down. And then they look at the next game and it's £25 a ticket, so they don't come back.
I was thinking about it today, and I think we talked about last week how our cheapest season ticket is
£429. Yeah.
So, you know, over 23 games, it's like it's still, it's not quite £20.
It's like 19 it's like 30 again.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And it feels like that's not that much. You know, you're not getting that much value for money with that.
No.
Because like, it feels like that's only value for money because of how expensive match day tickets are.
Yeah.
So, we just talked about Bolton, £9.50 a game. That, to me, that's like, that's a massive incentive to buy a season ticket.
Yeah. Where, but they've got that, I think, like, if people buy them early bird now, they're guaranteed them sales, like, they're guaranteed that money.
Yeah.
We don't know how many. If we finish 10th this year, you might lose another 2,000 season ticket holders, especially after the transfer window we just had. Like, you're going to lose a lot of walk-ons from now to end of the year, unless we're like pushing for playoffs towards end of the season. But for season ticket holders, you're going to push them away as well. And if Thomason walks away, then you're going to lose even more. So then down to like 6,000 season ticket holders and having to sell them at 550. And if he puts prices up again, you're down to 4,000 season ticket holders. Like, it's just a constant decline. And like, unless he does like a drastic change. I think even if he freezes the prices or like knocks them down to 399 or whatever, I don't think he'll get the same amount. Because people are just fed up now. They're fed up with being rinsed.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are some people on Facebook that just like stick up from like they're a business, not a charity. I'm not asking you to be a charity. I'm not asking you to give stuff for free. I'm asking you to give us a reasonable price.
I was shocked last night to see some of the comments in the Rovers group. I think there's one in particular that I read, and it was something along the lines of, "Why is everyone overreacting about a midfielder who's only marginally better than what we've got and some young lad from Rochdale?" It's like, yes, it's disappointing. First of all, that's just absolute complete rubbish. it's disappointing that we've not signed them, but that's not the point. It's the failure to sign them.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Thomason wanted them. Is that not enough? Even if you don't rate them, like, our manager wanted them players, so that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, for him not to get them players because of an admin error, I think it's unforgivable. But I mean, some people are like, there's too much negativity surrounding the club. Players read social media. We need to be more positive. Positive about what? Like, we can't. Like, even if we signed O'Brien, you can't get a home shirt with his name on back. We don't even have any R's in club shop. I bet our most marketable player has two R's in his last name, and we can't get his name up back at shirt. Yeah. If we had any shirts, Ewood is a mess. Like, it's messy. It's grey instead of white. The stadium should be white, but it's grey because it's not been washed for years. Like, what is? Do people? I think the majority of people are saying like, "Oh, we need to be positive and stuff." Just don't go. Like, we're going to match days, paying. I mean, we're seeing ticket holders, but. Like, adults are paying 28 quid a game and then going on and a pint at all times, 8 quid, and then they come out the ground afterwards and there's nowhere to go for something to eat or go for a drink and you're stuck in traffic for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what is there to be positive about? Please tell me. Like, because even as the season gets older, I feel ripped off at the minute. Like, go and get a pint at all time and like, spent best part of a tenner.
It'd be interesting to see what the atmosphere is like on Monday. You know, because I think whilst the statement yesterday and Greg's interview today it's nice to see someone coming forward to take the responsibility and try and explain what's gone on to the best of his current ability, because obviously the appeal, it doesn't actually, you know, take what's happened back, because it can't.
Yeah, you know, I'd love it.
It still happened, and so like, it doesn't in any way for me sweep it under the carpet.
No,
because you can't. It's that much of a
cock up. Costly.
And it could have such an impact on these next few months and the rest of the season that. It will be interesting to see what the reaction is like on Monday.
Yeah. I think it'd be good if it were like WWE where he thought lights went off and O'Brien would just center circle all the time with his entrance music.
My God.
It's O'Brien.
My God.
Moving on to Monday night. Piers number one.
Maybe.
I don't want him to be number one all season for anyone. Like, oh my God, I can't come in. I just think it'd be a good kick up the ass for Kaminski.
Yeah.
And obviously, Per's last game against Wigan was him almost being like shooed out the club by most fans in the FA Cup, and he's proved them wrong this year. So I think
all he can do is take the opportunities that are presented to him. So far this season, when he's played in the cup, he's been brilliant, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've had keepers come in and do it before. I remember Mark Bunn, when Paul Robinson injured or suspended, he got a draw at Anfield and beat United.
I think we're injured.
We not only got kicked in head at Wigan, so he couldn't play with stitches.
No, that was a lot earlier that season.
But Mark Bunn obviously comes in and makes a massive difference. So I just think, like, for a couple of games, Wigan at home, and then who got after that? Watford away. And just maybe give Kaminski a kick up arse, and I think against Wigan, we should be beating them, and he should be keeping a clean sheet.
It's quite funny, really, that, you know, earlier this season, if you'd have said, you know, put Pershing over Kaminski,
I don't want a replacement. I don't want, like, Kaminski to be frozen out. I just feel like for one or two games, like,
you've got to have competition, haven't you? Yeah. And Pers has been. I think Pers deserves the chance.
Yeah. Is there anyone else you'd drop? Does Sorba Thomas start?
Perhaps.
I think he has to start. To almost like.
Will he keep Morton out again? Or, I mean, will this agreement with Liverpool that we keep suggesting exists mean he gets put back in?
I mean, so when Travis came on against Birmingham in the first game, Morton obviously sits deeper, so then Travis is having to, like, move forward and, like, go and play, like, little progressive passes and, like, one-touch football and, like, I don't want Travis to do that. I want Travis sat where Morton is, kicking people. I don't want you to go and get the ball. Like, that's not your game at all. Morton should be one further forward, creating stuff. So if you're not willing to do that, then Travis can't play next to him, because I don't think Travis is comfortable doing that. Buckley's obviously played well next to him in some games, but then I just feel like it screams at you that Buckley and Travis is the way of going forward, because although Morton's dropping deeper, he doesn't do the tackling side of it, and, like, everyone bangs on about his stats and his assists and stuff. Like, his assist against Bristol City, that is not an assist. Hedges has threaded the ball through four players and Morton's passed it backwards 4 yards and Dak smashed it back at net. That is not Morton's assist, that is Hedges' assist. Against Birmingham at home, the layoff to Costello, it hits him.
I didn't realise actually how bad the build up to that goal was until
Birmingham players took about eight touches on Ezra on
shocking I mean, we're a nice goal from Ryan Costello.
Yeah, it was.
The build up.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, Costello's played class at the minute. I think he could be a shout when Britain's back at right back. Costello could be a shout to play alongside Travis.
He's another one that goes into that, you know, the same category as Dak, really. Since the restart after the World Cup, he's been immense. And does Britain get back in?
Because I don't think. Costello's fully comfortable at right back, and I mean he's been getting forward quite a lot. Obviously hits the bar before Dak's goal against Birmingham and scores. I just feel like if you could put him in centre midfield and he has that license instead of having to do the defensive work or one of the wingers dropping back to cover him or one of the centre mid. I'd feel more comfortable.
Yeah, well,
because I just think, like, if he's on edge at box, he shoots. If the keeper catches it. And their wingers stayed hard, and like you're 3-on-3 at back. So,
well, we've often had a go at. I think most Rovers fans have had a go at, you know, square pegs in round holes, particularly under Mowbray. But I feel like, given
Costello offers you more than Nambi, though.
Given how he's evolved and, you know, how he used to be or how he has been a cam coming through the youth system. He is one of those players that is actually versatile enough to play more than one position, and it would be interesting to see him in the middle.
Yeah,
I think
Wigan, I go Pers at net, Pickering left back, Costello right back, centre backs Carter and Wharton. Ayala's injured, isn't he? Hyam's injured.
Well,
Ayala had an injury update the other day. I didn't read it though.
Right.
I just assumed it was cold and. That's him gone for 6 weeks.
A bit chilly.
Two centre mids, Buckley and Travis for me. I don't think that's what we'll go for, but for me, that would be my two. Left wing, Sorba Thomas. Right wing, Hedges. Diaz and Gallagher up front. Do I think he'll play that? Probably not. But that's what I would go for.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, I don't think Vale gets back in.
No. I think Vale, it's not gone, or it's not going, at least.
Could do a long move, couldn't he?
Yeah, the way... but Buckley, again, he's another one. I was about to bring it up then, that, you know, I think with how he ended last season, you know, this season everyone felt that if he could just, like, become, like, a mainstay in the side, that we would see him develop further. And it's just, like, well, it's chopping and changing with Morton and someone else.
Yeah.
It hasn't really happened, and it's been a bit underwhelming this season, but that's not really that much, you know, he's not to blame for that, I don't think.
No. I mean, Sean Maloney's first game as Wigan manager didn't do that well. I say he didn't do that well at Hibs. He had a good style of play, but just didn't create chances. He didn't score. He was very possession based, and I think Wigan have almost resigned themselves to relegation, thinking that Maloney's going to come in next year and improve the style of play and then go up. Because I think if you were battling against relegation, you wouldn't hire someone like Maloney. You'd do what Blackpool have done and go like Mick McCarthy way, yeah. Like someone who's going to drag you about, and
someone who's been there and done it.
Yeah. But they've gone the style of play route. They said that they went that way with Cole Torrey and it didn't really work out well. But I mean, we spoke about it on the last podcast. We didn't think he'd last very long, and he hasn't. So before we get onto the 1-10 quiz, you can also sign free agents this month. So I've been having a look at the English free agents because I didn't want to look through like all the different nationalities. A couple that I looked at, Izzy Brown, former Luton midfielder.
Yeah.
He's torn us apart at Ewood a few times.
Yeah, well, Luton have in general, it feels
like. Yeah, true. Yeah. Connor Wickham.
Yeah.
Would you take him up front?
It feels like he's been around for a
yeah,
while.
He's 29.
It
29 feel, my ass.
It don't feel 2 minutes since it was like...
At Sunderland scoring against City at last minute. Yeah. Danny Drinkwater.
Is he?
Daniel Sturridge.
Been at Burnley, the one,
Andre Wisdom. Leon Clark, 37. Jacob Davenport, still a free agent. Get him back. Get the band back together. Nathan Delfonso. Get the band back together. Paul Downing, get the band back together. Jordan Ibe, but I don't know what he's been doing since he left. Was he at Bournemouth after Liverpool?
Yeah.
Not been doing out since then. Fraser Campbell, 35-year-old Fraser Campbell. Joseph Dodu, was he at Rangers?
He was, yeah. I didn't actually know Rangers letting go, to be honest.
Still there, still kicking a ball. Still kicking a ball, son. Right, no quiz because no one's on. So I've done you 10 January transfers. So I'm. What the hell? Jesus. So 10 January transfers. So we've got the club that they came from, the fee, and the year.
Right, okay.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the fees might be slightly off because it was in euros, not pounds, so I might be slightly off my fee conversion rates.
Yeah.
So number one, Birmingham, $4 million, 2005.
Barry Ferguson. No, you. I rushed it, Anna. I rushed it.
That's who we sold him to.
Yeah.
We didn't buy him from Birmingham.
But right, come on. Oh, Savage.
Yeah, Robbie Savage. Number two, Hertha Berlin, 400,000,
400,000. Samba.
It is Samba, yeah. Correct. Number three, KRC Genk, 700,000, 2005.
No.
Aaron Mokawena. Okay, number four. Man United. 8 million. 2002.
That's... Oh, hang on. Oh, is it... Is it... It's one or the other, isn't it?
Well, these are all January transfers.
I want to say Cole, but I thought... No, no, he weren't. He couldn't be in 2001, could he? Because he weren't in the promotion season, so it must be Cole.
It is Andy Cole, yeah. Number five, Sunderland. 1.5 million, 2009.
Sunderland.
Play along at home.
You are?
Play along at home.
Do you play a lot of games?
Yeah.
Go on.
El Hadj Diouf. Number six, Newell's Old Boys. 3 million, 2011.
Rashina.
Nope. Rashina was Barcelona B.
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Famica.
Mauro Famica, yeah. Number seven, Hull City. 750k, 2014.
Kilgallen.
Nope.
No.
Kilgallen might have been from Sunderland as well. It's like sticking in my head for some reason.
Who was signed from Hull? Go on.
Thomas Kearney.
Oh, bloody hell. I can't even remember playing for Hull.
Number eight, Liverpool. 2 million, 2007.
Stephen Warnock.
Stephen Warnock is correct, yeah. And then number nine, Barnsley, on a free, 2016.
Somebody's shit then.
He said it. He did score for us, I think. He definitely scored for us. I really scored like a tap in it last minute against Norwich, I think.
Say someone's shit, we signed a lot of shit. Oh, is it?
That season,
in that
yeah.
Period. Go on.
Simeon Jackson.
Oh, God, he was brutal.
Who was that tapping against?
Yeah.
With like a rebound,
yeah, you know what?
Ports in it back post.
I don't know what goal you're on about. Yeah.
How buzzing when we signed
him. I think
him.
He scored.
I thought we were a bagsman.
He scored something like 2 in 16 for all. He was shocking.
And the last one, I don't think you get this one. Saint Etienne on a free, 2010.
Someone obvious or not?
No, I won't say so.
Saint Etienne. Was that with us for like a long time or?
I don't know. I'm sure we like went to Preston and Blackpool on loan a couple of times. We might have left and gone to them. I don't know.
No, go on.
Amin Linganzi.
I saw him actually in
Trafford Centre.
No, I don't know. No,
Footlocker at Trafford Centre.
It were Rovers versus Norwich City in League Cup when Mohamed Biram got that hat trick.
All right, yeah.
He was in that game. I saw the highlights on Facebook. I think it were the other week. I don't think he ever played. He might have like one appearance for Rovers in Premier League. I don't think he ever.
Yeah. I remember him and Harold Goulon signed at the same time, and Goulon did it. I think he came on against Sunderland at home in like a midweek game or a nighttime game. Anyway, he did like a Maradona turn in centre circle. No one around him. We're all like, "Whee!"
Love that.
But yeah, we were absolutely awful. Right, that's us done. Unless you've anything else to add.
No, I don't think so. Difficult episode this week. Don't want to put your foot in it.
No, but Yeah. I mean, we're back next week. We'll know, obviously, we'll come after the Wigan game. We'll know about the appeal on Tuesday. If anyone else wants to come on and add their thoughts about the whole transfer malarkey, or want to speak about the Wigan game, wants to talk about, we'll talk about it if you want. Just come and tell us what you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it with you. We're that bored. I'm kidding. But yeah, follow us on Twitter. You subscribe on YouTube. All the podcast providers, all that jazz. Yeah. And then we'll see you all back next week. I think that's us done.
I think so.
Alright, we'll see you in a bit.
Right, see you in a bit. Sports
Social Podcast Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.